Okay, and I don't know, we're getting near the end of this Philippian study, but we've got a few more lessons to go, and I've really been enjoying it. I've been thoroughly enjoying and benefiting from the study of this book of the Bible. We're in the fourth chapter of the book of Philippians in the New Testament, and we almost got through a couple of verses last week, but there's more there that we need to study, and so that's what we're going to do tonight. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 4, verse number 5, let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Now I said this last week, that does not mean the coming of the Lord. That's not the return of the Lord. That is the constant abiding presence of the Lord Jesus Christ in the person of the Holy Spirit, never leaving, never forsaking, never abandoning the born-again believer. Because of that, because of the Lord's presence, we can read in verse number 6, be careful for nothing. Don't let cares fill you up. Okay, that's what we talked about last time. Okay, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Okay, our great matters are little to his power, and our little matters are great to his love. And so the Bible says, and, important word there, and the peace of God, okay, and the peace of God. Here's why I say that word and is so important, because many people, they like to quote and make wall plaques and calendars and greeting cards out of this verse, Philippians 4:7. The peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. That's the way you see it on those plaques and things. And it's a beautiful phrase, but it's not true. It's not true. If you leave off the and, if you leave off the and, you are misquoting the verse. If you leave off the and, you are providing a promise, but avoiding or ignoring the condition for the promise. If someone is careful for nothing, if someone takes everything to God in prayer, if someone is allowing the Lord to be their supply, if someone is thankful for all things, if someone is making their requests known unto God, then the Lord says to that individual, doing all those things, living with that measure of trust and confidence in God, that person is entitled to, and that person will enjoy and experience the peace of God, which passeth all understanding. Now, it's important that we note and understand this is not just God giving me peace. It's better than that. This is not God calming me down. It's better than that. This is, and it is worded, the very peace which God himself possesses as he looks upon the situations and circumstances of my life. I might be fearful. I might be terrified owing to the fact either that I have either never been this way before, or owing to the fact that I don't know how the thing is going to turn out that I'm going through, or owing to the fact that I'm not sure if God has enough power, enough grace, enough concern to get me through this thing. For any number of reasons, I might lose my peace, my confidence in a given situation. But God, who is all powerful, God, who sees the end from the beginning, God, who knows that he can and will keep his every promise, God never gets nervous, never gets worried, never is overcome with anxiety or stress, or whatever the modern word is for those situations. And God says, if you will rightly trust me, I will make available to you the very peace that I, as God, possess. As I look upon and survey your current situation. Now that's quite an offer. That's quite an offer. The very peace of God. Not peace with God. Not necessarily peace from God. It's God's peace. Jesus isn't worried. He's not chewing his fingernails and pulling out his hair up there. I mean, up there in heaven, there's not a worn out place right there in front of the throne where God has been pacing back and forth, wondering how it's going to turn out. And so this peace, which governs and controls the heart of God himself, is available to those who will trust him in the trials and circumstances of life. Now, God didn't say one word here about fixing what was wrong. He didn't say one word about giving us what we ask for. He said nothing about answering our prayer. He said he would give us peace. He would give us peace if we would trust God to handle it. If we would trust God to get us through it, if we would trust God that this situation is going to end up bettering my life and bringing glory to my Savior, then we could have peace, the peace of God. That peace passes all understanding. It passes the ability, your ability, my ability, to comprehend that peace. The thinking is, how could I possibly be calm in this situation? And yet I am. How could I possibly be confident under this trial? And yet I am. How could I possibly have any hope for the future when all looks so dark? And yet I do. You see, the peace of God. The peace of God. Jesus said in John 14:27, my peace I leave with you. My peace, he said. Now, do you think I walk into a situation where God says, oh no, what are we going to do? I don't think so. Now, I've walked into situations and said, oh God, what am I going to do? And then eventually got around to saying, oh God, what are you going to do? But I've never been upset or I've never been able to upset the Lord. I've never been able to shake him or rattle him, make him worry. He won't join me in my upset. No matter how bad I make the thing sound in my pleas and my prayers, I've never been able to cause God to panic. It's as if he knows it's going to be okay. And it's not that he doesn't care. It's just that it's not that big a deal to him because he knows it's going to turn out okay. You know what we're going to find out when we get to heaven? There was nothing under the bed. It was just our imagination. You know, think about a little boy here. A little boy might believe there's a giant wolf that walks on his hind legs and lives in the closet out in the hallway next to his bedroom. And so many nights that wolf will come out of that closet and walk down that hall and stand in his doorway in front of his bedroom and threaten to eat him up. And just picture that. It's terrifying for that boy. And the wolf, he's huge. He fills the whole doorway. It's big, big wolf. Fortunately, that child has a bed sheet, and he can just pull that bed sheet over his head, and that wolf can't see him anymore. Wow, thank the Lord for bed sheets, eh? Amen. The that boy, he could peek out from under the sheets, and there he was. That wolf's still there. He just, all he has to do is pull the sheets back over his head, and he's gone. Now, was there really a wolf in that hall closet? Of course not. And that child would find out later that it wasn't really there. It was just something he imagined. But boy, it was just as real as if he was there. Well, you know what? We're going to get to heaven, and we're going to find out that most of the stuff that the devil kept throwing at us to make us afraid were shadows and illusions that could not hurt us. We are born again. Now, he could kill the body and afterward do nothing. We're born again. We're on our way to heaven, and we've got the Holy Spirit for a, well, can I say it reverently, for a bed sheet, so to speak. Get under his covering, and so much of what makes us afraid will just vanish away. The Bible says, the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, all understanding. All right, that brings us to Proverbs chapter 3, verse number 5. That's a verse most of you are probably familiar with. Proverbs 3, 5 says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. All right, so look, here's our trouble. The Lord is at hand, right? We know that from verse number 5, Philippians 4, 5. The Lord is at hand. He's here with us. I get a problem. You get a problem. We go to the Lord. We tell the Lord about that problem. But then immediately, we go back to worrying about it, fretting about it. Immediately, we go back to trying to figure out how we are going to fix it if God doesn't come through. You know why? Well, I'm trusting him part way, and I'm trusting me part way. And so because of that, I lose my peace. And do you know why I can't trust the Lord completely? Because I just don't understand how the thing is going to work out. I can't understand how this could be for my benefit. And since I'm not certain, really certain, that by God's love, all things work together for good, because I don't understand it, well, I start trusting me again instead of the Lord. And then peace goes right out the window. You know what the Lord said? I've got peace for what you don't understand. I've got peace that surpasses your ability to comprehend it. Well, maybe there's somebody here tonight and you've been through some things that if somebody had told you the day before they happened that you were going to have to go through those things the next day, you would have said, I could never go through that. Some of you, you've been through tragedies. And if God had told you you're going to go through this tomorrow or that tomorrow, you would have said, oh, no, God, I can't go through that. And yet here you are. You went through it. You survived it. You're victorious. And you are better for it. And you say, I don't see how somebody could go through that and still love the Lord and still praise the Lord. I just don't understand it. But you have lived it. You've seen and experienced in your life that God can give you peace you never thought possible. Isn't it great that God's grace surpasses our ability to understand it? Thank God. He's got more for us than we can even grasp. He's got more for us than we can figure out. You say, I just don't see how I'm going to face it. You don't have to see how you're going to face it. You say, I don't see how I'm going to get through it. You don't have to see how you're going to get through it. God is going to take you through. What a great God. The peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts, that's the emotional side, and minds, that's the intellectual side. Now, you can go either route. You can go the heart route, the emotion route. You can go the mind route, the intellectual route. But either way, God can give you peace. Okay, now, I hope you're listening. I, speaking for myself now, I am not always at peace. I am not always rejoicing in the Lord. Sorry to say it. But I am being honest. I am not always trusting my Savior the way I should. But when I'm not, when I'm not at peace, not rejoicing, not trusting, when I'm not, it's not because God is a failure and because God is not good enough. It's because in those moments, I am leaning to my own understanding. And I got myself in a bind because I've let care fill my cup. Care is now filling my cup instead of letting the Lord take that cup and take my care so he can give me his peace in exchange. And I do it all the time. Maybe you do too. You can't believe how many nights I've laid awake thinking the entire ministry, the church which I'm trying to pastor, is just going to completely fall apart. You know, what's going to happen if he does this? What's going to happen if she does that? What's going to happen if this turns out this way? What's going to happen if this turns out that way? You say, why do you do that? Well, because I'm trying to trust people, and they're not always trustworthy. And I'm trying to trust myself, and I'm not everything God wants me to be. And all of those hours of fretting and worry and trouble, those are times when I'm just not trusting God. And when you don't trust God, peace disappears. And when you are trusting God, not only does peace abide, his peace abides, because he is not worried. He knows what he's going to do, and he knows that it is going to be right. In Job, the book of Job, chapter 34, Job 34, tremendous. In that chapter, there's a tremendous Bible verse, remarkable promise in the Word of God. In Job 34, verse 29, Bible says, when he giveth quietness, okay, when God settles you down, when God calms your nerves, when God slows your heart rate, when God takes away your fears, okay, when he giveth quietness, who then can make trouble? Isn't that amazing? If I am so trusting God that his peace is governing my heart, soul, and mind, if I am so confident in the Lord, I cannot take away the peace God gave me. You cannot take from me the peace that God gave me. An enemy, a friend, a situation, a circumstance cannot take away from the trusting soul, from the trusting, believing heart, God's peace, which God placed within you as you depended upon and trusted in him in all things. All right, the next one we'll look at is Isaiah chapter 26, book of Isaiah, and the 26th chapter. Another incredible verse here, one that really everybody ought to commit to memory, I think. Isaiah 26, and we're going to read verse number 3. Isaiah 26, verse 3. thou, that's God, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace. Okay, now, if you've been with us through the course of our Philippians study, you know perfect means what? It's not sinless peace. It's perfect in the sense of complete, total, entire, lacking nothing. That's what it means. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. Okay, so let's stop there for a minute. We'll go on in a minute. But here's what happens. The word cancer is spoken, and my mind wanders from God to cancer. The word operation is spoken, and my mind wanders from God to operation. The word split, divide, contention, strife, conflict, those words are spoken of the church where I fellowship, and my mind is taken from God, and my attention is drawn to those who are causing trouble and sowing discord and telling tales. The word war, famine, earthquake, pestilence, antichrist, republican, democrat, words like these capture the attention of saved people, and the minds of born-again men and women become occupied with troubles, trials, and bad things, and difficulties, and enemies. Then there's that word funeral, that word hospital, that word death, and suddenly our minds are 1,000 miles away from the Lord, who, remember, he is at hand. And so our peace that is standing right there beside us in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, our peace vanishes because our minds are occupied with that which is hurtful, that which is uncertain, that which is threatening to us. And so the Lord says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Don't let that mind wander off. Don't let that mind go over there. Don't let that mind be drawn to that. Keep that mind on Jesus, the lover of your soul. Keep that mind on Christ, the solid rock. Keep that mind on Jesus, the anchor that holds. Keep that mind on those everlasting arms. Keep that mind on the love that lifted you. Keep that mind on the amazing grace of God. If you can keep your mind on the one who is greater than all the troubles, instead of allowing the troubles to occupy your mind, God says perfect peace is available to you. Now here it is again. I'm going to finish the Isaiah verse now. It matches the teaching of Philippians perfectly. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Why would I keep my mind on God and not on the storm? I trust him. Why would I keep my mind on God and not on the situation? I trust him. Why would I keep my mind on God and not on those people that are doing those things? I trust him. Haven't you found the Lord Jesus to be trustworthy? I know you've found yourself, because I found myself to be less than trustworthy. I've found other people, some of them well-meaning, some of them, though, quite evil, but I have found most men to be less than trustworthy. But I have never had any situation in my life where I have looked back and said, it was a mistake to have trusted God with that. It was a mistake to have confided in Jesus with that. I was wrong to lean on the Lord through that. Never one time has God proven unworthy of my trust and of my confidence. I've been hurt, but never by God. I've been wronged, but never by the Lord. I've known pain, but never has that pain been inflicted by Jesus Christ. I've been misled, but not by the Holy Spirit. So friends, this world every single day will present you with situations and circumstances that can easily rob you of your peace. But our great, gracious God in heaven and his loving Son, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the indwelling Holy Spirit, they stand ready and able to give perfect peace in every situation to anyone who will but trust the Lord. What an amazing thing that God would be willing to do that for us. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall, no doubt about it, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. What a Savior. What a friend. And aren't you glad that God cares that much? Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, that you promised that we can have peace. And you not only promised it, but you told us what we need to do to ensure that we can have it and keep it. Father, help us to keep our eyes stayed on you, our hearts stayed on you, even in the worst of situations and circumstances that we might be going through. Lord, when people are doing us wrong or circumstances are giving us some struggles, Lord, I pray, Lord, that you'll help us to remember that you are at hand and you will not leave us or forsake us. That was your promise. And we can trust that you'll get us through it and we'll be better for it. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.